Have you ever thought about what jet fuel actually is? I mean, really thought about it. It is refined kerosene. We are burning a liquid hydrocarbon that was pulled out of the ground, cracked in a refinery, trucked to an airport, and pumped into a wing tank so we can set it on fire inside a turbine spinning at 20,000 RPM. And we have been doing this fundamentally the same way for about 70 years. I'm Vector, and this is Cleared Direct on Radio Hangar. Today, we are going to talk about the biggest bet anyone has ever placed on changing that equation. Airbus Zero, three concept aircraft, one radical fuel, and a deadline of 2035. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones, first solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last, AviationSoul.com. So let's break this down. In September of 2020, Airbus unveiled three concept aircraft under the Zero E banner. Each one is designed from scratch to run on hydrogen, not hydrogen blended into jet fuel, not hydrogen as a small supplement, pure hydrogen as the primary energy source. And that distinction matters enormously because it means zero carbon dioxide emissions at the point of combustion. The three concepts cover different segments of the market. The first is a turbofan configuration that looks a lot like a conventional narrow-body airliner. Think something in the A320 family size. It would carry roughly 200 passengers up to 2,000 nautical miles. The second is a turboprop designed for shorter regional routes, around 100 passengers, 1,000 nautical miles. And the third is the one that gets all the attention on magazine covers. It is a blended wing body design where the wide fuselage gives you more room to store hydrogen tanks. That one targets similar range and capacity to the turbofan, but uses the airframe shape itself as part of the solution. Now, here is what most people miss about hydrogen as an aviation fuel. There are actually two completely different ways to use it, and Airbus is pursuing both. The first is hydrogen combustion. You take liquid hydrogen, you vaporize it, and you burn it in a modified gas turbine engine. This is not science fiction. The Soviets flew a modified Tupolev Tu-155 on hydrogen back in 1988. It works. The thermodynamic cycle is similar enough to kerosene combustion that you can adapt existing turbine architecture. You still get thrust from expanding hot gases. The difference is that instead of carbon dioxide and water coming out the back, you get almost entirely water vapor. Some nitrogen oxides? Yes, because you are still combusting in air, but no CO2. The second approach is hydrogen fuel cells. Here you do not burn anything. You run hydrogen through a proton exchange membrane, it reacts with oxygen electrochemically, and you get electricity and water. That electricity drives electric motors which spin propellers or fans. This path produces zero nitrogen oxides, zero CO2. Just water. It is cleaner, but it comes with a weight and power density penalty that makes it better suited for smaller aircraft or as a supplemental power source. Airbus is exploring both paths because the honest engineering answer is that neither one alone solves every mission profile. Fuel cells might work beautifully for a 50-seat regional turboprop, but for a 200-seat airplane flying transatlantic distances, you probably need combustion for the raw thrust and power density. Now, let me give you the number that explains why hydrogen is simultaneously the most promising and the most frustrating alternative fuel for aviation. Hydrogen contains roughly 2.8 times the energy per kilogram as kerosene, per kilogram by weight. It is a miracle fuel. But here is the catch. Per unit of volume, liquid hydrogen has about one quarter the energy density of jet fuel. It takes up roughly four times as much space for the same amount of energy. This is the central engineering problem of hydrogen aviation. Where do you put it? In a conventional tube and wing airliner, the fuel lives in the wings. Thin, flat structures spread across a wide span. Liquid hydrogen needs to be stored at minus 253 degrees Celsius in heavily insulated, roughly cylindrical or spherical tanks to minimize boil-off. You cannot just reshape a wing tank to hold it. The tanks need to go somewhere else. Behind the passenger cabin, above it, inside a blended wing body, every option changes the airplane's center of gravity, its structural loads, its emergency evacuation routes. Airbus has been working with a division called Airbus Up Next to flight test hydrogen technologies on modified existing aircraft. They have an A380 testbed called the Zero Demonstrator, where they have mounted a hydrogen fuel cell system and a modified engine on the rear fuselage. The idea is not to build a hydrogen A380. It is to use a certified flying test bench to gather real flight data on how hydrogen systems behave in actual operating conditions. Altitude, temperature, vibration, the things you cannot fully simulate on the ground. They have also partnered with CFM International, the same joint venture between GE Aerospace and Safran that builds the LEAP engine. Together, they are working on a hydrogen combustion engine demonstrator. The goal is to have a modified GE Passport turbofan running on hydrogen and flight testing on an Airbus A380 by the mid-2020s. The data tells an interesting story here because CFM has publicly said that the core combustion modifications required are substantial but achievable. The fuel injectors, the combustion chamber geometry, the fuel delivery systems all need redesign. But the fundamental gas turbine cycle still works. Let me talk about infrastructure for a minute, because this is where the optimism meets cold, hard logistics. Today, every commercial airport in the world has jet fuel infrastructure. Tank farms, fuel trucks, hydrant systems built into the ramp. Decades of investment in a liquid that is stable at room temperature and relatively safe to handle. Liquid hydrogen is a completely different animal. It requires cryogenic storage. It boils off if not kept at extreme cold. The pipes, the trucks, the refueling rigs all need to be designed for cryogenic temperatures. A single airport conversion is a massive capital project. Doing it globally is a generational infrastructure challenge. Airbus has partnered with airports including Changi in Singapore, Incheon in South Korea, and several European hubs to study what a hydrogen-ready airport would look like. The early estimates suggest that converting a major hub could cost hundreds of millions of dollars, and that is before you solve the question of where the hydrogen comes from. Because here is the dirty secret about hydrogen. It is only as clean as the method used to produce it. Today, most hydrogen is made from natural gas through a process called steam methane reforming. This produces what the industry calls gray hydrogen. It works, but it releases CO2 during production, which defeats the purpose. What aviation needs is green hydrogen, made by splitting water molecules using electrolysis powered by renewable electricity, solar, wind, hydroelectric. That technology exists today, but it is expensive and not yet scaled to the volumes aviation would require. Some estimates suggest that aviation alone could need 20 to 40 million metric tons of hydrogen per year by 2050 if the industry fully transitions. That is a staggering amount of green electricity. So what is the realistic timeline? Airbus has said they intend to have a hydrogen-powered commercial aircraft in service by 2035. That is about 9 years from now. In aerospace development terms, that is tight, very tight. For context, the A320neo program took about 8 years from launch to entry into service, and that was a derivative of an existing airframe with a new engine. A hydrogen airplane is not a derivative of anything. It requires new propulsion, new fuel systems, new tanks, new ground infrastructure, new certification standards, and new operational procedures. The European Union Aviation Safety Agency has started working on what a hydrogen aircraft certification framework would look like. They have published initial concept documents, but the actual rulemaking process for a fundamentally new fuel type will be long and thorough, as it should be. We do not rush certification when the fuel is cryogenic and the aircraft is carrying 200 people. I want to be balanced about this. The engineering challenges are real and significant. The infrastructure problem is enormous. The timeline is ambitious, perhaps aggressively so. A delay of 5 to 10 years beyond 2035 would surprise no one in the industry. But here is what makes Zero different from some of the vaporware we have seen in other corners of aerospace. Airbus is not a startup with a slick pitch deck. They are the largest commercial aircraft manufacturer in the world by deliveries. They have billions in annual research and development spending. They have a supply chain. They have certification experience. When Airbus says they are going to build something, they have the engineering depth to actually attempt it. And the competitive pressure is real. Boeing has been quieter on hydrogen, but has invested in sustainable aviation fuel pathways and is watching carefully. If Airbus delivers a zero-emission short-haul airplane and Boeing does not have an answer, the market dynamics shift dramatically, especially in Europe where emissions regulations are tightening year over year. For us as pilots, what does a hydrogen future actually look like in the cockpit? Honestly, probably not that different from what we fly today. The throttle still controls thrust. The engines still spin. The flight characteristics of the airframe might change somewhat due to different weight distribution from those rear-mounted fuel tanks, but the basic job of flying the airplane stays the same. The biggest changes would be on the ground. New refueling procedures, new emergency response protocols for hydrogen leaks, which behave very differently from kerosene spills. Hydrogen is lighter than air and disperses upward quickly, which is actually safer in some scenarios and more dangerous in others, particularly in enclosed spaces. There is also the water vapor question. A hydrogen combustion engine emits a lot of water vapor at altitude. Water vapor is itself a greenhouse gas, and at cruise altitude it can form contrails and cirrus clouds that trap heat. Some researchers have argued that the warming effect of increased contrails could partially offset the CO2 elimination benefit. Airbus and several European research institutions are studying this, and it is one of the honest unknowns that needs more data. The path to hydrogen-powered aviation is not going to be a sudden switch. It will be gradual. Short-haul regional routes first, where the range limitations of hydrogen volume are less of a constraint. Dedicated airport pairs that invest in hydrogen infrastructure early. Probably European routes initially, where the regulatory push is strongest and the distances are shorter. Long-haul intercontinental flights on hydrogen are much further out. The volume challenge is just too severe for an 8,000 nautical mile mission with current tank technology. That is where sustainable aviation fuel or next-generation battery technology might fill the gap for decades to come. But for flights under 1,000 nautical miles, which account for a huge percentage of global departures, hydrogen starts to look very compelling. Especially as green hydrogen production scales and costs come down. What Airbus is attempting with ZeroE is not a moonshot. It is harder than a moonshot. It is trying to replace the fundamental energy source of an entire global transportation industry while maintaining the safety standards that make commercial aviation the safest way to travel. That is an engineering challenge on a scale we have not seen since we figured out how to fly in the first place. Most of today's material comes from Airbus's published Zero Program documentation, reporting by Aviation Week and research published by the European Union Aviation Safety Agency. You can find more on all of this at RadioHangar.com. 9 years to reinvent the fuel that runs the sky. Whether they make that deadline or not, the engineering is real and the direction is set. Vector on Clear Direct. See you next time.